Welcome to Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium, a podcast for fiber producers and artists. I'm your host, Madeline Norman. This week, I unfortunately have a cold, and I think it's turning into a sinus infection, so I apologize in advance for my voice and the sound quality. I'm really excited. You probably noticed when you started this podcast that this week's episode is extra long. I think you'll agree that the hilarious hijinks are totally worth it. I spoke with my friend Lori Prestia of Lima Pop Shop on Etsy. She's a stitch marker maker. She makes them out of Swarovski crystals, and they're beautiful. And Lori, I have since started using my stitch markers. I have one for the yarmulke that I'm making, so I'm happy to report that they are wonderful and just as great as they appear to be. So make sure that you listen in at the end of this episode so that you can join in the giveaway. There's a lot to update you on as far as the farm. I told Lori, I feel like I can't ever release a podcast because as soon as I sit down with my list of things to talk about, something else happens on the farm. And that's what keeps it interesting, but it's also a little frustrating. So I apologize for this podcast being late. And rest assured, I have some great episodes coming up. Lori and Terry and I will have a virtual knit night soon. And next week, I will be sharing interviews that I took at Hoosier Hills Fiber Festival, which happened at the beginning of June in Franklin County, Indiana. And I'm pleased and proud to report that Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium took grand champion for the second year in a row with a Shetland fleece. So yay us. Kind of sets the bar high. I've now been grand champion both years that I've been there, so I'm a little nervous for next year. I didn't think I was going to win anything because I've been shearing so late and the fleeces were kind of trashed and it was my last chance, so it was kind of a Hail Mary. So I'm pretty pleased about that. Anyway, enough about me for now. I'll be back at the end. Here's Lori. And just so you know, nothing that you're about to hear was planned in any way, shape, or form. It is unscripted. It just happened because that's the kind of awesome Lori is.
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Is this thing on? Hello?
Hello?
Oh my God, what will I do?
I saw a commercial for stash enhancement. And I'm just calling because I feel inadequate.
So you need more fiber?
I have a low fiber diet.
Oh, we can help you with that. The Sultan will take your credit information.
I have nowhere else to turn. Do you need my social security number?
I need your social security and your mother's first name and your first car and where you went to school.
Let me ask my son, the Big Macha lawyer, because he knows about these things.
Oi, my son's a doctor.
Such nachas you must feel.
My nachas are doing okay today. A little sweaty, but there's okay.
Sweaty I can handle as long as they're not schwinging, you know?
Well, they schwing, they sweat, they sway. What are you going to do?
Already, how are you?
Well, we don't have to talk about it.
I've been better, but you know, I'm here, I'm upright.
You sound like you look good. I can't tell, but you...
Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
You'll sit in the dark?
Alone like a dog. No one calls, no one writes, but I'm not one to complain.
No. Well, you poor thing. I can't tell, he's hardly ever around with the golf balls, with the swinging of the clubs and the balls, always with the balls. What's with the balls? He don't drink. What are they going to do?
Probably with a group of shiksas running around on the little cart, so busy. Oy, who has the energy this heat?
We call it the guy cart.
With the bringing of the drinks that your husband doesn't drink because, you know.
He's a good, nice man. He's pleasant.
So tall, so handsome.
5'8", not so tall, but handsome. He's got the Tom Selleck mustache.
And you know, I mean, the cheesecakes. Always with the cheesecakes.
Oh yeah, have a cheesecake. I should send you cheesecakes.
What I wouldn't give. You know, it's hard to get a good cheesecake down here.
Pennsylvania, they don't know much from the deli. So I can understand your verschimmeltness.
You with the Dutch, you must be so verklempt.
They don't even know a klempt if it fud down them.
So how are you? Who are you? Where are you?
I'm tapping. I don't know what I'm doing.
I can hear you tapping and I'm turning down my miracle ear.
Oh.
Because already I'm thinking that there's something loose in my brain.
Well, there's that too, but we don't want to go into it.
So you finished your brickless.
The brickless is done. God bless the brickless.
May it never be knit again.
May it never. This is my second, maybe my third. Who can keep track?
Your third attempt or your third shawl?
My third shawl of the brickless.
You can only wear one at a time. Don't turn the heat on. Just throw another brickless on me. I'll be fine. 9 feet of snow.
Not to worry. We have fiber.
I heard you didn't get any snow.
Not today.
It was a snowless winter.
We had snow. We had, I think, one major storm.
That's not enough.
No, it was not enough. And though the people are pleased, as a gardener, I cannot state enough. We need the moisture.
Amen. My fiber processor can't process. You know, they need the water for themselves, for their livestock.
Mm-hmm.
Already I would have to wash it before I sent it.
Don't give me a Kanahara. This is a great intro. So, how are you?
I have developed a summer cold. At the new farm.
Summer Cold at the New Farm.
Yes.
That was my favorite movie when I was younger. From Here to Eternity.
Oh.
But with less of the beach.
Oh, so much running just to fall on the sand.
All that sand, it's uncomfortable.
And the sand fleas, the itching. That's a trip you don't forget.
And the salt, but the salt water is so good for your skin.
I think like a piece of wrinkled shoe leather. That's what I think you come out like. And who wants that? That's no good for anybody.
You stay in the shade.
Our people wandered for 40 years. Isn't that enough?
Enough wandering!
Stay put already so we can find you. You're not very good at that.
What?
The staying put.
No. You talking personally or you...
You just went to Vegas.
I did.
You came back a big winner?
No.
But you're not on the Biggest Loser. There's still a roof over your head. Wes can still afford his medicine.
And his shirt.
Yeah, you didn't lose the shirt off your cat's back.
Yeah, exactly.
What an achievement. Such a problem your child is.
Oh my God, so he's a picky eater now.
With that one, you have nothing but complaints.
Yes.
And he's never going to move out of the house.
No. He's worthless. All he does is sit around all day.
And he's never going to take care of you in your old age.
He's going to eat my face off. I'll be in the yarn room with no face.
Should we fill listeners in on who we're talking about? It's not your actual child, two-legged child.
No, it's the only child I'll ever have. Wes Cat, the great. Yeah. He's a rag doll. And he never read the manual, so he's only 9 pounds.
He's very handsome.
Instead of the 16 or so that he should be.
But we won't hold it against him.
And he's supposed to be a long-haired cat, but I'd say it's more mid-length. And I think somewhere in that breeder's house, things went on that shouldn't have happened. And this is what I ended up with.
But you'll love him just the same. It's a mitzvah to love the Wes.
Okay. If you say so, I'll go along with that.
We have some backstory to explain.
Okay.
We're here with Lori. I don't know how to say your last name.
Prestia.
So it is like it looks.
Yes, Wojo, it's just the way it's spelled.
It is as it appears to be.
As it appears to be, Prestia. Uh-huh. I am a maker of stitch markers.
And they are beautiful and creative.
Why, thank you.
And you sell them on Etsy.
I do. At this point in time, they are sold on Etsy. The name of the shop is Lima Pop Shop.
How many peas?
Two, but not in rapid succession. Because who can pee so much?
If you got so many peas, you got a problem.
I know, every night. It's done because of the military alphabet. So it's LP, which is me, LIMA, and then a POP, and then a SHOPPE just for the fun of it.
And did you learn this from your husband, the big Maka air traffic controller who saved lives?
Yes, that's where it came from, because his home business is Tango Papa.
That's where you can find these wonderful stitch markers, which are sparkly and glittery and colorful.
And lighter.
I met Lori through Terry.
Yes.
But I have had the pleasure of meeting Lori in the flesh, whereas I have not met Terry. I have seen his beautiful face on Skype, but I have not met him in the flesh.
What's up with that?
He doesn't like to leave Texas, and when he does, he doesn't like to tell people in advance, so then other people don't have the pleasure of driving up and making his acquaintance.
Sneaky.
Mm.
Very sneaky. And we tried to talk him into going to fiber shows.
Indeed. And he says no.
Yeah.
Not even an I'll think about it.
Just a no.
Terry and Lori did a fabulous project together, making bags with stitch markers attached. That was my peacock bag that I literally refreshed every like 3 seconds to get.
You actually were the first person, because I looked back and I said, son of a gun, that was Madeline.
Yay me.
We were so happy. We were dancing on our phones, texting each other.
Well, you sent me a very terse message that although I was paying you, my bag would be shipped by Terry. You know, Schmidt Terry ships. But then you came to Stitches South and I got to meet you in person.
Which was very exciting.
We saw one another across a crowded room.
And we waved, and then I got swept away by the sea of people, and then we met, and it was wonderful.
And Lori's awesome, and she's 10 tons of fun.
10 tons of fun in a 5'2" package.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
You knit. You did the brickless cowl with us. It just took a while for you to catch up.
Well, that's because I started it. And I finally realized about 3 weeks later that I did not want to continue with the yarn I was using. So I restarted it. The April knit along I started over on the 28th of April.
Oh, right. Because you're also kind of a Miss Babs whore.
Yeah, there's that.
You didn't come to Stitches to meet me. You came for Miss Babs.
No, she wasn't even there.
I know. You had to go off site.
It was like an arrow through my heart.
I don't know what Babs has that I don't have.
Well, you've got it all. She has the yarn.
I have yarn.
You do have yarn. You gave me Tim. Once I figure out what to do with Tim, then I'll let you know if more is required.
Tim cracked his skull open.
No. What happened?
I went out this morning because I had a breakout. So Zeke and I ran out there and ran Molly and some babies back through a hole in the fence. I should say it was the old fence, not the fence that was just put up. Not knowing how to repair the hole, I said, screw this. They can all move to a different pasture. And Morty came running through the hole. Morton the recently sheared. And he had a big bloody spot on top of his head, right between his horns, which is unusual.
Oh, my.
Tim came running through, and so did he. So I don't know if they bashed and they didn't hit horns, or if they both scraped on the same thing, or if something tried to grab them and was unsuccessful.
Oh, wow.
He's all bloody right now.
Lovely.
It's not even bashing season.
When is bashing season? I want to be prepared for this.
In the fall.
What does one wear for bashing season?
A helmet and knee pads. Basically, the more you look like the Michelin man, the better.
Sure. It's better to be protected than to be bloody.
I want to know the force with which domestic rams hit.
Ow.
I Googled it and I could only find info about bighorn sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Bighorn sheep weigh over 300 pounds. Their horns weigh 30 pounds. And when they hit, it is with the force of 800 kilograms.
And how much do yours weigh?
150.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking probably like 350 to 400 kilograms of force, maybe.
That's a lot of math happening there.
I don't math, but I guesstimate.
You could apply to do a study on that.
No, I could suggest strongly to students who enjoy that kind of mathing that they come to my farm and study it and then supply me with the answer, which would make me very happy.
A 9-year study just so that you can find out the answer.
Yes, but hey, if they get a degree out of it,
And your name. You want your name on their paper.
ballyhoo!
Exactly.
I'm cropping up everywhere. Academic studies, Library of Congress. Grand champion fleece at Hoosier Hills Fiber Fest 2 years in a row.
Trying to break into the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I did that.
Cross that off your bucket list.
So when did you start knitting?
I believe I started knitting sometime when I was a child, but my only memory is of crocheting those windy snakes out of that horrible multicolored plastic yarn. But when I went back to knitting sometime in, I don't know, the late 90s or so, I remember calling my mom on the phone because I was trying to remember how to cast on, and she was trying to tell me over the phone how to cast on, which was a lot of fun. It actually was really funny. Because we were laughing so hard, we were both crying. Because really, I mean, isn't that the most ridiculous thing? Well, you have to do this and put the hand and then with the yarn and put it around your thumb and your finger. Well, I'm doing that. No, you have to try
No,
and do
but you
it
have
with.
to lift your hand up. You must not be lifting your hand up.
Yeah, exactly. So that happened. And I got one of those books, Learn How to Knit, but I was past that already. So I have been knitting for a while, and I have a huge amount of stash
Lori, I
now.
try to discourage guests from bragging about the size of their stash.
My stash is quite large.
You are well endowed with fiber.
I am filthy with fiber. And I have a lovely little gem spinning wheel, and I have a flatbed knitter, the LK150, the regular flatbed knitting machine. And I have a circular sock machine. Oh, whoa. You okay there?
Yeah, I'll be there in 7 hours.
Okay.
I had a dream I was teaching somebody else to knit on a circular sock machine.
Oh, it's an ENZAC, so it came all the way over from Wales, I believe.
Show
Yeah.
off.
Yeah. And boy, are its arms tired. But I haven't really had enough time with it. So it really is sitting in the other room with a pillowcase over it.
Well, if you ever need to send it to boarding school,
I would love to do that.
Miss Madeline's school
Wayward sock
for wayward
machines.
sock machines would be happy to take on another student.
Only if I could come with it.
Absolutely. And bring your wheel too, or have you made peace with it?
We're not doing too bad. I'm having a problem with joining fiber. It
You're not
is.
a
I'm
joiner.
not a joiner, no.
You're a lone wolf.
I am. My mother always said, go to these groups, go to these meetings. And I said, I don't like them. I don't like people. So, it's very difficult to get out there.
And yet you managed to get married.
That was her as well. Because I was with her when I met him. And she said, he's a nice guy. He's really sweet. So, see, the
He's
mom
a
pushed.
nice man, a good man. True. True. How did the name Moonflower come about?
Moonflower came about from my love of cows and my love of gardening and my mind just trying to come up with something, and I ended up with Moonflower.
The cows to whom you are allergic.
I'm not allergic to cows. Well, I really don't know. I've never been close enough to know. But I have quite a collection of cow things, and as with most items, when a family finds out that you like to collect things, they start sending them to you, and then you stop collecting them rapidly.
Right.
Yeah. But Tom did have a car. He had a minivan that was white that we had cow spots put on.
Let me guess, you were the first person to buy a Gateway computer.
No.
Your favorite restaurant is Chick-fil-A.
Not a bit. I do like their posters. I have never eaten there. And we are Apple people all the way.
Why aren't the stitch markers Moonflower?
Because of the home business that he has, we thought that we could just fold it all into one for purposes of taxes. So the Tango Papa decals and the Tango Papa desserts and the Lima Pop shop all basically fall under the same thing when we're doing that. I really don't know. Gee, that's a tough quest. Stop asking the tough questions.
That's what I'm here to do. Hard-hitting journalism.
You're grilling me like a steak.
I'm a regular Connie Chung Povich.
Oh my god.
First there were the fiber arts, and then you said, I hate commercial stitch markers. I can do better.
Well, the real backstory is, of course, about my younger days when I was in burlesque. And my stage name was Droopy Sparkles. So there was that. And my pasties were made from Swarovski crystals.
I mean, so, only the best for you.
Of course. There's always downtime, and the gals in the back love to knit. Knitting never went out.
They downtime for Droopy? No.
That's right. That was downtime. And every time one of my sparkles would fall off, I would make a stitch marker. I would give it to the girls. They loved them. And when everything else started to fall south on me, I decided to hang up my pasties and just make the stitch markers. There are no jump rings on my markers. They are hand wrapped so as not to leave any jagged little pieces of wire. Carefully, my eyesight has gone. I wear those little cheater glasses now to make sure that the wires are perfectly turned.
Sacrificing so that we can keep our yarn intact.
That's right. Jewelry for your fiber arts has never had more blood, sweat, and tears put into it, but it's worth every little sparkle.
How many do you throw out?
The markers?
Yeah.
Why would I throw any out?
Well, I mean, how many don't fit your exacting standards? I mean, you turn it and it doesn't turn quite right. And...
You know, that's a good point. Sometimes there are some...
Slightly irregulars.
Well, what happens is as you're wrapping the wire, sometimes the crystal, certain colors will be really very fragile. And so as I'm turning the wire with the pliers, if I see anything or I feel a crunch, then I do toss that.
Oh.
But it's not the complete set because then I just snip the wire and I put in a new one and I'm more careful with it.
It's Wes's fault.
So I'm thrifty. Yes, it's Wes's fault. It's always Wes's fault. I just like to mix up the colors. I do tend to lean towards the greens.
Are you one of those people that had a hobby or a passion for something and so you decided to see if other people liked it because that way you could afford to keep doing it for yourself?
I actually knew someone that made shawl pins.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing some stitch markers and she said, oh, you should try it. It's fun. And I did, but I didn't like the glass beads because they were so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The crystals are a lot lighter than glass beads. And, you know, people probably look at them online and think, oh, they're huge and they're heavy,
but they're really
very light. Yeah. They're delicate. So they're good for when you're doing lace weight stuff. I started doing it, and of course, oh, you should open a shop, because she had a shop, which is not as bad as, oh, you should open a restaurant, which we know always goes really well for people.
Right. Which is why there's rarely any turnover in the food industry.
Exactly. And why we will not open a bakery for cheesecakes, but we'll just sell them once in a while. Yeah. So
not after this podcast. You're going to have to quit making stitch markers and go into cheesecakes full time.
Well, the good thing about that is that he's the baker. So I'm just the business manager as far as that goes.
You're the Sharon Osbourne of baked goods.
There you go. I'm picturing him stumbling around the kitchen now.
as Lori, I can't find the flour.
Darling, you left it over there. Why don't you put it in the sink? Yeah.
Carrying Wes and stroking him with your Swarovski'd hand.
Oh god.
Yes.
Swarovski encrusted sweaters on the cat.
Hello, Wes cat. Hello, my dear little Wessie.
Oops, one fell into the cheesecake. And thus we were shut down. Shh, don't mention it or everybody will want one. We do them for Mardi Gras. It's like the king cake, only we throw a crystal in there instead.
Right.
So I went and I started them on Etsy, and I've done some gift bag donations for some really big fiber retreats. I've had them in a few stores. Unfortunately, one of the stores closed.
But it wasn't because of you.
I'm going to say it's not because of me, though most of the businesses that have been small where I've worked have closed. And as a matter of fact, one large business that I worked for that made the mail trucks that you probably still see out on the street also closed. So, yeah.
Anyway, you know when you say you're going to shut the place down, it's supposed to only mean the bar.
Shut it down. That's, yeah. That's not literally, it's figuratively, isn't it?
That's where you went wrong.
Yeah, I knew there was something happening there. Yeah, and so they've been they've been doing pretty well. I did transition over to Art Fire for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I like to play around with the settings and stuff, and Art Fire enabled me to do that. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden they changed how they did everything. And they said, no, everyone will look the same, be the same. And so I went back to Etsy. And so that's where I will stay until I can do my own website.
Exactly. I always feel bad pushing my stuff on people.
Why?
I don't know. I'm still surprised. When I went to the Fiber Festival last weekend, I mm-hmm. showed up. I had no ID on. I had no cards. I had nothing that delineated me from any other person in shorts and a t-shirt. And I wasn't there but 10 minutes and people walked up, where's Seuss? Did you bring Seuss? I was like, how do you even know?
Social media?
Yeah, but how did they, I mean, why are these people following me?
I'm not anybody. Why are they following me?
Thank you for following me. I'm just not, I never quite get used to it.
I had someone come up to me at a Stitches once, and she knew who I was. And I'm like, how did you know that? And she said, oh, I follow you on Instagram.
Right.
And she lives no more than, I think, maybe less than an hour away from where I am.
And she never bothered to visit.
And she didn't call. She didn't write.
She just jumped you at Stitches.
Much like my blog. No comments.
Hmm. I do read your blog.
It has been stagnant.
A little.
It was quite peppy when I was doing it.
Why don't you do it anymore?
It takes so long. Probably like doing a podcast where you have to edit. And
I always feel like I have to have something to say. Like I have to justify posting.
I always say that it doesn't matter. A blog is whatever you want it to say on it. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people who say, but you didn't talk about knitting. You didn't talk about yarn. And I'm like, but it's my blog. I can talk about what I want to talk about.
How one-dimensional would you be if that was the only thing that you talked about?
Which is why it's Lorenzo Knits a Tomato, because I thought, okay, there's knitting and there's gardening in there and there's a nickname that no one has used since I was about 20 in there. The only other thing that has Lorenzo on it is my bowling ball. But
your bowling ball can knit a tomato?
It's quite fancy.
And so flavorful.
So what else? Go ahead. What else? You grill me.
Well, I mean, so now that we've brought bowling into the mix, you are a bowling champion.
Yes, my league won this year in the Winter League, which is pretty amazing because last season we were in last place.
Well, clearly that had an effect on you.
We pulled it together. We picked up a new bowler and she was given lessons by the best bowling teacher I know, which I'm also married to. So we pulled it together and we came in first. And so maybe this year we can just relax and come in last again because there is a booby prize. And when you're in those last two spots, you're always fighting.
To be worst
so that you can get one of those booby prizes. Everyone's what did you get
for being first?
We got plaques. That's it.
Oh.
I would rather have come in last so that I could get a fun prize as opposed to the plaques that we got.
Well, don't let people hear you say that.
Well, you edit it out. Okay. So we got plaques and we, of course, made a little extra money. It's not a money league. It's mostly to have fun. And we've got a great group of ladies.
Pishke enhancement.
Yeah.
The Pishke is up to $8.37 now.
Oh, we can buy
cheesy fries.
We do have a 50-50 each week. And when you win that, you do get about $8. And then I get yelled at from my friend who I go to Vegas with, and she says, put that in your Vegas drawer.
No, we have to save it for a rainy day.
I was not raised like that.
How were you raised out there on Long Island?
On Long Island, as people say. I don't say it that way, but that's how people say it. I was raised just to be a knitter.
Who bred champion show dogs.
Yes, the German Shepherds and the Shetland Sheepdogs, and I love dogs, and maybe one day I'll have one.
You with the Shetland Sheepdogs, me with the Shetland Sheep.
Again, kismet that we came together. Where's the music rising in the background?
I'll have to edit it in.
Okay. That would be lovely. When are you getting your internet?
The internet was supposed to be installed. And then there was a bush that needed to be chainsawed. And there was an argument over whether or not the bush really needed to be chainsawed. And then there was an argument over, well, the ongoing great debate of where the satellite would best be placed.
Oh, no. Well, I could tell you where to put that satellite, but you won't like it.
I don't think it would get very good reception. In the meantime, an AT&T technician came to the end of the driveway and started messing with a box. And I said, young man. Because I'm old enough, I can say that now.
Young
I think
man.
He was older than me. Young man, what are you doing?
Get away from my box.
You're gonna get electrocuted. And he said, no, ma'am, I'm a service technician and I'm out here checking out a line.
Praise great Jesus.
I'm looking for a port that's 3 miles away. And I said, well, then it's not here, is it? But he said that DSL was available and to call and ask for a supervisor and say that I had spoken live and in person with a technician. Mm-hmm. Again, with the live and in person, unlike Terry, to ask if there was an available port. Well, there is not. I can be waitlisted for a port. I intend to run around the corner and ask a person whose house has just gone up for sale when they plan to move and if they have AT&T so I can have their port.
Excuse me, knock on the door. Excuse me, do you have to bring a measuring cup for that?
Right. Here's a cup of sugar. I would like your DSL.
You really need to go when it's raining so that you can ask for a port in the storm. Oh, there's so much corn here, and I'm not even in the Midwest.
It's not yet high as an elephant's eye.
Yes.
So the choice is 2-year contract with satellite internet.
And all that entails.
Wait for port. I have attempted to ameliorate the lack of contact with the outside world by getting a new phone that conforms with the requirements of the tower upgrades that are going on. It has not improved the situation. I have complied. And yet, I am not receiving the service that I am paying for. Therefore, I am justified in lobbing vitriol their way.
There's just not enough lobbying done nowadays.
There's really not.
But there's plenty of vitriol.
Although, when I got the phone yesterday, the representative said, you look like you would cut somebody. And I said, you are a smart man. I was spinning on a drop spindle.
That's because you have to spin everywhere.
I do spin everywhere. I spun in the coach store, and the coach people, I thought they were going to look down their well-sculpted noses at me in their basic black with their high-end shoes surrounded by purses that I wanted very badly to sniff. No, they were in fact quite nice. It turned out that the young man actually grew up on a farm. And the young woman said something about not knowing that wool came from sheep.
Where did she think it came from?
I don't know, but I was like, please never leave the city, ever. Yes. Promise me that you will always stay in an urban area.
I would have sniffed the purses.
I spun in Sephora. I thought of you when I went to Sephora.
You went to Sephora and spun.
I did.
Oh my goodness.
I spun my way through Sephora.
I can picture it.
It is a British breed. It's Massam. And I have enjoyed spinning it immensely. Mm-hmm. It's like the silver, lightweight version of the black Norwegian that I spent so long spinning last fall.
Wow.
But it's gone very quickly, and I'm spinning silver Icelandic on the wheel, so I get very confused when I'm out and about, because I love spinning both of them, and they don't feel that dissimilar, so I've been wrongly telling people that I'm spinning Icelandic. Oops.
Oh, well, they won't know.
Well, that's the sad part. They won't know unless I educate them, and I am leading them astray.
I won't tell. I won't tell.
What kind of podcaster / fiber artist would I be if I wasn't honest with people?
You're allowed to make mistakes. It's only human.
Right. I finished knitting. I never did tell you what
shawl pattern that was, did I?
No.
But I finished it, okay. And I blocked it, and then I realized I had not woven my ends in. Oops. It wasn't that bad of a pattern. It's actually, most of the ones I've done have been increasing rows, mm-hmm. and this was decreases, so that was a nice change. And it was garter stitch.
It's nice.
Boring.
It's nice because then, thank goodness, there's less and less of it as you right. go, as opposed to the, oh, I can't stand one more row of increasing. I like making shawls. I don't wear a lot of them, but I like knitting them.
You know what I ought to make is the shepherdess shawl. I mean, we are selling the kits. I ought to, and I do have the yarn. I should knit it up myself.
It's kind of like gambling because you put in the money and you're fine. And then you get to a point where you say, well, I have to keep putting it in because if I stop, then I can't win anything. And then you're putting the money in and going, oh my God, I'm such an idiot. Why did I even start this? So it's pretty similar. But you'll feel good when you're done. See, there's the difference.
Maybe I should make a top-down V-neck sweater.
I think that would be okay.
I just found this pattern in my stash, my pattern stash.
What pattern is it?
Simple summer tweed top-down V-neck.
Okay, I don't understand sweaters in the summer.
Well, at night.
Not a bit.
It requires 1,500 yards of yarn.
Spin more.
Oh, I definitely have that much on the shelf.
Wow. Okay.
It's a raglan.
I love raglans.
And it's not very finished. Like, the cuffs are all rolled.
Mm-hmm. I don't like ribbing on cuffs. I prefer a rolled hem or just
They always stretch out anyway.
Yeah, I just don't like that look. The ribbed bottoms, the ribbed... I don't like it. I don't want it to pull in where I go out.
It's called Keskiddies.
Gesundheit?
I think that's how you say it. By Emma Karvonen. It's Keskitys. A shawlette. I mean, it blocked out to a decent size. Probably the size I thought the brickless would be, and then the brickless grew a little bit. But it's just a triangle in the middle, and then you attach the wings to it. And the hardest part is picking up the stitches on the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I hadn't been moving, it would have gone really fast. It's not very open because it's all garter stitch.
Did you do a gauge swatch?
No.
Okay.
I'm a horrible knitter. I never swatch.
I do not particularly like to swatch. I just go by how it looks.
Right.
If I like the way it looks, fine. If I don't, I'll go down a needle or up a needle until it looks pretty.
Exactly. And if it doesn't fit me, I just find someone that it will fit.
There you go. Perhaps a short in stature friend.
Maybe.
I always end up making shawlettes because all of those gorgeous lace shawls, some of the designers and they're, you know, they come all the way down to the person's knees. That's modeling it. And I go, I'd be falling over that. So I always look for stuff that I can make smaller, shorten, tighten it up a bit, you know?
My Drachenfels is a blanket.
I like mine. It was fun.
I like mine. I don't know that I would call it fun.
You were really fast, though. You and Terry.
Terry is ridiculous.
One day those hands are going to go on him.
I don't know. He's only been knitting for a couple of years. Isn't that disgusting?
Wow. Yeah,
he really is a male Hazel Tindall.
It's incredibly fast. He'll go, I started this. And before he finishes saying, I started this, he'll be putting pictures up going, here it is, all done.
Right.
And blocked. I have a bag with about 14 shawls in it that I have never blocked.
Have you noticed, though, that he never wears any of his stuff? He never posts pictures with, like, oh, and here's a thing I made 3 months ago.
I think he said something about starting to sell them or give them away or something. Probably sell them. Because he has so many of them, and most of them are probably Madeline Tosh. So I'm not doing any more knit-alongs. I can't keep up with you fast knitters.
Of course, for me, it's the season of the spin now. And of the pick. Ugh. The pick. I was wrong. I don't have 9 more sheep to shear. I have 12.
And I heard you saying that, oh, I'll never be somebody who does a dozen of them in one day. I'll do a few a day.
I tied my record for how many in a day, and I did it faster than I've done before.
You are bionic.
I am a shark.
I go until I am physically restrained, and then when I'm released, I go some more.
You go some more, and then you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Don't tell me to rest. I need to do something.
Right. I will lose my mind.
I can't stay still, or I will die.
Although I have to admit, this cold is kind of kicking my butt, and I actually laid down for a few minutes today.
And passed out?
No, but I was like, oh, I actually do feel better.
Good.
Just laying there, I felt better.
The body needs time to heal. Don't make me put on my mother hat.
The body needs to suck it up. Give me an IV of matzo ball soup and send me on my way.
You give it a day of rest now and you get to keep going for months. You force it to keep going and you're going to be going at half speed for weeks. You made me put on the voice. So what else do you want to grill me about? Is that it? Are we done with the grilling?
Oh, we can never be done with the grilling. I want to grill some stuffed bell peppers today.
I bought some peppers. I'm going to make some chicken cacciatore, and it's my own recipe. I call it Tori Lori. I take some chicken, and I may coat it in flour and salt and pepper, and there's mushrooms, there's onions, there's peppers. Of course, there's tomatoes, diced tomatoes.
Mm.
And I just throw it all in there, and it never comes out the same twice, but it's good, and so I just call it Tori Lori. And there's some sort of wine or something in there, too. Whatever's on the shelf, whatever my arm reaches first. I learned some of my cooking skills from my mom, but certainly not my grandmother.
Well, a cacciatore is just a stew.
That's true.
So essentially, it is supposed to be just whatever you have on hand. How is your garden coming?
My garden is wonderful. I have 9 beds of about 5 feet high weeds.
So the crop is coming along nicely.
Because he never got out there and cleared the beds.
Oh, no.
So I never got to do my seed starting. And he finally said last week, the seeds will be good for next year, won't they?
I still don't have a bed to put my tomato and pepper plants in. I have the plants, but nowhere to put them.
So just get bigger pots and leave them as potted plants.
I guess.
You can.
Can and want to are two different things. I want my bed.
That's true.
So I can lie in it. And weed in it and plant in it and harvest from it.
Being that we have 9 beds, there has always been the threat that he's going to stick me in one of them. Because he can't go in the cemetery with me and my parents. So, you know, we could just go in the garden bed.
I kind of want to be cremated.
I have a fear of fire, so I don't know about that.
Brenda, I'll feel skinny because all of me will fit in one box.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. That's never happened before.
But then there's also the claustrophobia. But frankly, what will I care?
You might be watching.
And I'll say for the first time ever, I was able to get inside of a box without a tranquilizer.
Now we can fit you on an airline.
There you go.
Don't put your hands through the holes she scratches.
You could be carry on now.
You should knit Wes a cat hoodie.
I will never do that.
But there's a lovely pattern on Ravelry that I tried to make.
No. No one needs that. Wes doesn't need any other clothes. I am one of those people that objects to putting clothes on a pet. It's not dignified. Unless, of course, it's diapers on a
lamb. And then you're all about it.
And it's a necessity, yeah.
So it's fine when it's somebody else's animal.
Well, sure. No. I can't do it. Maybe it's from having show dogs. It's just not dignified. I don't think I would even do a bandana. So I have my lines. There it is. I said it. Don't put clothes on your animals.
Unless it's a diaper on Zeus.
Yes, but
that's... Or a beanie. Did you see the beanie on Zeke?
No.
That was adorable. Go back through Instagram and look at it. He was adorable. He's a little hipster puppy.
And did Zeke appreciate the beanie?
He did not mind it.
Okay. Well, some are very even-tempered and don't mind doing stuff like that. And that's okay. But don't put bunny ears on your cat as it cringes and plots your death.
I so wanted to put reindeer antlers on the sheep for, like, holiday postcards.
I think that'd be adorable.
Is that clothing?
No. It's just for a picture. You're not going to leave them out there for days like that.
Did I mention the rat snake?
Why, no, you didn't.
What had happened is that I had a dream that there was a snake in an inauspicious place. Like, it needed to be removed.
The different dream than the one with the circular sock machine?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So there was a snake in an inauspicious place. It needed to be removed. I could not remove it for some reason. And so Alex reached up to get the snake. Mm-hmm. And dislodged it, and we thought it was dead, and then it was not dead, and it bit him in the face.
Oh!
And he died, right?
Wow. Was that right? A recent dream?
Yes. Very strange, not so happy. The next day, I go out to the chicken coop, and I look up, and there's a snake on the netting. And I was like, I had this dream already.
Been there, done that.
Right? So I go in to poke it and dislodge it, and it was dead. But it was, like, for real dead. It had gotten tangled in the netting, and it was actually really tragic.
Okay, I worried that you didn't learn from the first time.
Yeah, right? Okay. I had the dream as practice, and then I went ahead and did the bonehead thing anyway. I was like, no, I'll get it. Well, I couldn't get it. So Alex came over and tried to dislodge it, and no one could dislodge it. It was very, very stuck.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just interesting.
And you didn't stand there screaming, no, you're going to die. Don't do it.
I actually did. And I got a lot of weird looks.
Aww.
And I said, but I had this dream already. Anyway.
Duly noted.
Now I'm looking at yarmulke patterns on Ravelry.
Seriously? Because you're done with shawls. Now you're going to switch to yarmulkes?
Well, no, but it was requested.
How many?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Unless I feel like doing more. No, I had one that was requested, and I can do that.
There have to be at least a half a dozen yarmulkes.
There are, but I don't like all of them.
It's not all run by shiksas.
We own entertainment. We own employees. We tie with the Indians for the doctors.
There you go.
It's only a matter of time till we take over the Fi, but only natural, though. No acrylic.
Tom's mother says she's allergic to wool.
That's impossible.
I don't really believe her. I think she's just thinking of the scratchy, scratchy wool from the days of old.
Yeah, my mom does that too. No, mom.
So I made my father-in-law socks instead of her.
You made for him, but not for me?
Yeah, she doesn't have that accent. He's from Long Island. We're both from Long Island. We actually lived about 20 minutes apart.
But never met.
Until the bowling alley.
He wasn't for you. Uh-uh. Except he was.
Uh-huh. Who was I to know what I needed, what I wanted?
You don't know what you want.
You don't.
Somebody has to tell you.
Damn it.
So you also crochet?
I have crocheted. I did that before I went back to knitting. I was crocheting again. And that was fun. And I joined some sort of online group, except that it hurts my wrist. That's definitely a repetitive movement injury type thing.
What surgery did you have?
When?
I don't know, a couple years ago.
I had my gallbladder removed.
That was probably it.
I had that done 2.5, maybe 3 years ago. That went bye-bye. When my chiropractor took me out for dinner, and we went and had ice cream. Did I put that story in there?
I don't think so.
Yes, she said, oh, let's go, let's have ice cream. And I said, that'd be great, because Tom and I sometimes during the summer will have ice cream, like once a week. We'll have friendlies, and we'll have an ice cream sundae and banana split.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, oh, I have this great place. They make their own ice cream. Well, I didn't know that it was 1,000% fat in this lovely ice cream. And I had the worst gallbladder attack. I thought I was having a heart attack. Yeah, I got up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I thought I was dying. And I calmly woke up Tom and said, I think you need to get up and take me to the hospital. I thought about showering first, but since I couldn't stand upright, I changed my mind. So yeah, they determined it was a gallbladder attack, which I knew was only functioning at about 12% already.
Really?
Yeah, but I just had never had an attack. I just knew I was uncomfortable. So
that's horrible.
Yeah. So I had that taken care of.
Good. And now you're 100% without a gallbladder.
Yeah, I am 100% without a gallbladder, correct. And I still eat ice cream.
Yay!
Even though I'm lactose intolerant, some things will not slow me down.
But no cheesecake?
Little bit of cheesecake.
Yay, cheesecake!
And there's some sort of a scientific thing, a chemical thing, that if there's chocolate mixed with the dairy, it somehow has a different reaction with your body. So
yeah, my dad gets a lot of kidney stones, and he was told that he's supposed to eat ice cream with chocolate sauce. Mm-hmm. If he has ice cream, he has to have chocolate sauce.
Well, I think that's a given anyway. Chocolate sauce, hot fudge. Never say no to that. But I do go into places and say, can I have the kitty-sized cone? Because I need to have some of it, but I don't want too much.
Because I'm delicate. Because
a person needs to know their limits.
There are no limits, however, for fiber.
No. Yes. And since I'm lucky enough to have a whole bedroom just for my fiber, I am doing a good job with that. The spinning wheel fits there. The sock machine does not have a place up there, though. That just sits in the living room. I would try and sell it. Except everything always says, well, you should have a video and the person should see you using it. And, well, if I knew how to use it,
you would keep it.
I wouldn't be selling it.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. And I even named it after my mother and my grandmother. I got it after my mom passed and she had left me some money. And so, of course, I went and got a circular sock machine. And so I named it Clara Sophie. I've tried. I went to Maryland once and I went to someone's house and she showed me how to use it. And then I came home and then something happened. And then I got a frozen shoulder and geez, you can't do that with a frozen shoulder with the cranking.
With the turning, like you're making butter, but nothing comes out but a pair of socks.
A pair of socks. Try and put that on a bagel.
And not even a pair, one at a time.
When I come see you, I'll have to haul that as well.
Yes, please. Can you do that as a carry-on?
I actually can break it down into something that I can carry on, though TSA would probably have a field day with it.
They didn't even ask about my spindle.
They don't ask about knitting needles anymore.
I'm telling you, we could start a coup. A very deadly, but cute, comfortable, and properly swatched revolution.
Precisely fit.
That would last forever. You forever. Ingrate. Next time I'm teaching you how to make your own. If you teach a knitter to coo, they will coo for a lifetime.
But give them a sock.
Next year. Next year is the year of the sock.
Why next year?
Because this is the year of the shawl and everything running amok.
I saw that on the calendar, 2016, year of amok.
The pictures aren't too good. They're all brown.
Why can't you sock? You've socked.
I don't know. I can do all the individual parts of a sock, but they don't turn out.
It's really, oh my goodness. The first thing, when I got back into knitting, the first thing that I made was a pair of socks. I went to Stitches with Tom, and I was so overwhelmed by the marketplace, because I had never been to anything like that before. And I saw someone was selling a DVD on how to knit socks. And I bought that, and I bought, I think it was Cottage Creations has one of their socks. It's the Wisconsin Winter Sock or something like that. And I got like the size 8 double-pointed needles, and I went home, and I made socks.
See, I'm very needy. I need someone to hold my hand while I do it.
Well, I'm like that with spinning. I want somebody to be there and, okay, what? How come? Why didn't? Not just look at it and go, okay, yeah, that's overspun, because that doesn't help me. But the knitting, I thought, okay, I'm not gonna put limits on this. I'm not gonna say this is a hard thing to do. I just said, right. I'm doing it, and I did.
I thought I was doing it, and then I looked at the almost finished product, and I went, huh?
And you weren't.
This is not foot shaped.
You'll teach me how to spindle. I'll teach you how to sock. Terry will just sit in the corner laughing as he flies through a dozen shawls.
And drinks a whole bottle of wine.
There you go. Is there a Starbucks nearby? This is kind of important.
I'm pretty over Starbucks.
It's just the one particular drink, really. The mocha that I get.
What is it?
It's a triple ristretto, non-fat, light whip, no foam mocha.
You're so high maintenance.
I really am.
So you'll come and I'll make it for you.
I would do that.
All right. I require heavy supervision, you know, after putting the nail through my foot. Did I talk about that?
No. Okay. No, you're going to have to do that.
Thank you. I'm going to have to talk about that. I'm playing very fast and loose with my health.
Oh my gosh, the wrists. You must have good wrists.
Well, yeah.
Well, you do the shearing.
And I'm a pianist, so.
Oh.
Well, I was.
Do you have a piano?
I do.
Do you play the piano?
No. Well, for money.
For money.
I'm a pianistic prostitute.
People come in and they give me money and then I play.
I derive no pleasure from it.
Do you follow Carl the Fag on Instagram? He is a pianist also.
Is he?
Yes. He's put up some videos on Instagram. And he always says, I'm like crap. I really need to practice more. But he's good.
I mean, really, the arts are so destructive in their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I like about fiber. It's the polar opposite, really, of the classical music world, where you can never achieve perfection, but if you are less than perfect, then you are nothing.
You are nothing. You are crap.
Yeah. Which, you know, the that's same sad. In dance.
Well, I dance like no one's watching. See?
It's very sad that that's how you're trained.
Yeah.
That's not how to start out, but...
I played piano when I was younger.
What happened? Why'd you give it up?
I gave it up because my parents wanted to get an organ, and they did. We sold a German Shepherd to someone that owned a organ store when they used to actually have them in malls.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah. So they bought an organ, and I don't know why they did, because I like the piano, only I was the one who had to take the lessons on that, but I still prefer the piano, so I have never had a piano since.
12 years old, 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday, I had to wake up to learn how to play the organ because my mother said it would be a useful skill one day.
No.
It's not something I do with any great frequency, but I think that, honestly, I think that's why that spinning came so easily for me.
The dexterity. Mm-hmm.
I'd already worked hands and feet separately, so.
Huh. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
You don't sound so bad for having a cold. You're going to cough up a lung. I'll be fine.
I have two. I'm so blessed with lungs. One will be fine. Already I should give this one to somebody.
I shouldn't complain.
What's a congested lung compared to a goiter?
Oy, the goiters I have known in my lifetime.
I thought I saw you standing in line for corn pads.
It was hemorrhoid cream, but we were not going to mention that either.
Whatever personal problem you have stays on the podcast.
Oh, awesome. With listeners numbering in the hundreds or thousands.
Or the threes.
It's just between us. Oh, so it's me, Terry, and...
Cody.
He's yes. Orange tint, right?
He is.
Yes. Yes, Cody.
He is. He Good makes dude. Food at Harvest, which is a great local restaurant that uses only local ingredients.
Oh my
Their
God,
farmers' she's... faces are on the walls. It's perfect.
He's local to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, nobody makes a special trip to come see me.
Because, well, he started following me, I think, because of the peacock bag. And so I follow him. And yes, and I've seen his strawberries. They're gorgeous. Have you met him in person?
I have.
Nice guy?
Very nice guy.
Oh, he seems so sweet. Tell
and
him I
said he's single
next.
And looking, gentlemen. Next.
Gorgeous hair.
He'll knit for you.
And cook.
He'll cook for you.
Desserts. Oh my gosh. I so wanted those strawberries.
He'd probably trade you for a cheesecake.
I don't know how he would ship his food, but boy, I'd be willing to try it.
There you go, Cody. There's your shout out.
You see how I'm pimping out Tom's cheesecakes? He has to make them all. And he's just defeated. How many cheesecakes do you need for stitches? Whatever I can fit in my suitcase. I had to take a half a suitcase worth of cheesecakes.
And I got one.
And you did.
And I ate it all by myself. Not all at once.
I actually wanted to be an actress when I was younger. So I have no problem with public speaking.
Was there too much traffic on the Great White Way?
I was in the theater guild where at one of the companies where I worked. And that was wonderful. But I was the new kid. Well, let's see. I did Sorry, Wrong Number, which all I was operator number two. I was a hit.
If you don't be operator number two, operator one can't take lunch.
There you go. And let's see. California Suite. Yes, I was the hooker. My whole role was to lay passed out in a bed. Yeah, see, so that goes back to the droopy sparkles that
I did not know that you were that kind of a girl, but
I pulled from that. Yes, I just laid there in pajamas and I was passed out and the guy got to jump up and go, "What time is it? Oh my God, my daughter's wedding and you have to get up." And I just really
did. You leave anything behind? A shoe, a bra, an earring?
No, nothing left behind. And then I was the understudy for an actual speaking role, but then the person dropped out. And since I'm really good at memorizing things, I got that part. So I really enjoyed that. What will she be when she grows up? No one knows. So how do you like using your stitch markers?
I haven't really had anything since I got them that I need to use them for.
It's not possible for them to be too pretty. And the only reason that you could say that, and somebody that I know used to do this, she used to screw up and actually knit them into her knitting.
Oh no.
Yeah. And she'd go, I need another set because I knit them into my sweater. Very sparkly.
Do you do repairs on them? Like for instance, if she had knit them into the sweater and then like cut the rings, mm-hmm. could she mail them back to you and you would?
I would certainly make new wires for her. Yes.
Very nice. That's certainly. Good to know.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty accident prone.
It's good to know that if you step on them, it won't go through your foot because there are no sharp edges. I've done some lovely custom orders. Someone she was making something and she needed 24 stitch markers.
Oh, cool. And she wanted them all to match.
And they all matched.
Very nice. Yeah, I hate like when I use a set and then I'm one shy.
Is it because you lose them?
No.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, you never know how many. Like, I made the Boneyard shawl mm-hmm. from Stephen West. I started out with a certain number of stitch markers, and then it, all of a sudden, halfway down the pattern, surprise, add one!
Oh,
it,
no.
It was like, add two or something, and I was like, oh, they don't match.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
What am I going to do?
But I also have a dog hoodie, shut up, that... that required a bunch of stitch markers.
Uh-huh.
And I actually tore that out and started making a shawl out of it, which I need to finish. I played Yarn Chicken and lost, so I
need... Oh, no.
And it was handspun, so I need to spin, like, 45 yards of the same mix of shades.
And you're able to get the same weight?
Oh, yeah.
Do you always spin fine now?
No, I can spin thicker. I really try to buck the impression of handspun yarn as being bulky or uneven or, you know, only good for weird projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know a whole lot of people who can do consistently as fine as I spin.
And your take on art yarn?
It's fine. I've done some of it and that's, mm-hmm. you know, it's got its place, but... When people come to my booth and they see, oh, it's hand spun, that's their first thought. I've had people argue with me and I love that. Like, this isn't hand spun. Yeah, it is. I did it. I promise.
Spun with my hands.
Right? On this wheel right in front of you that I'm mm-hmm. using right now.
So you have to do that. So there's an unfinished object.
Yes. And that is, I think it's a heavy worsted. It's mm-hmm. a 3-ply.
And who is that from?
It's a 3-breed blend, I think.
Do you keep notes?
I had the tag for that one, but I just moved. So all my tags are in one place and all my yarns are in another. So I took your advice and I made a GoFundMe for the farm.
And you have put it up on Instagram?
Not yet. It's GoFundMe.com/Ballyhoo Farm.
Okay.
So share it with everyone you know. The store, the floors do need a little bit of work and it needs to be... pressure washed and it needs electric, and then because the barns blew down in a tornado, we need shelters.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot for one person, but if a whole bunch of people give a little bit at a time, then we'll get there. But you know, it won't be too long before it's winter again.
Oh, I have pictures.
It was like, use lots of pictures because people like pictures, and I was like, okay.
Oh, that's nice. It looks lovely, and a nice tree in the front. That's a climbing tree. That's a nice tree.
I mean, you know, if you like that kind of a thing.
I like a nice tree now and again. Do you know how hard it is? I don't know how it is out there, but do you know how hard it is to find good Chinese food here?
Oh, we have a plethora, a bevy, a multitude.
Are they good?
They're all right.
No, I don't want all right. I want good.
They're worth the repeat.
Okay. Well, the repeating is awful. Oi, the acid.
there will be a giveaway. Because Lori, generous Lori, when I saw her at Stitches, not only gave me an extra set of stitch markers, but one for a friend. So if you want to be my friend and be Lori's friend and have a set of stitch markers for yourself made of crystal. Crystal, these go in the china cabinet.
Swarovski crystal.
You don't throw them in the Ziploc bag of acrylic yarn.
No.
No Lion brand.
No.
You don't waste these on the Walmart.
The Swarovski crystals.
You should go on the Instagram. What are you waiting for? And like me, ballyhoo.fiber.emporium. And also, Lori at Mooflower. Add how many friends?
Two friends is nice.
That makes four of us. We can get a reservation with four people.
Otherwise, you have to either sit at the counter or you have to wait for a booth.
Or somebody comes up and says, can I have this chair? No, you can't. Why are you so presumptuous?
I'm saving that.
Maybe I'll break an ankle on the way to the bathroom and I need to put my foot.
Get your own chair.
Maybe bring less people next time.
You could use the hashtag of droopy sparkles.
To recap, if you would like to win the set of stitch markers made by Lori's very own two hands, go on Instagram, like me, like her, tag two friends, and make us a reservation somewhere with the hashtag droopy sparkles. Is that right?
That right.
Lori, a pleasure as always.
It was wonderful to speak with you. I love hearing your voice.
It's even better than seeing your emojis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say better than seeing me.
Well, no, not that. Never that.
Because I come with cheesecake.
You come with cheesecake and a smile.
Oh, that sounded bad too.
Although I wouldn't complain. And on that note, take care.
I love you.
And now the news from Ballyhoo Farm. As I had alluded to in my conversation with Lori, I did put a nail through my foot a few weeks ago when I was cleaning out the Emporium. It was so alluring. There's a cellar beneath the original hardwood floors in the Emporium. It used to be the coal cellar, and it's as big as the shop itself, so about 18 by 30 feet. And I only had a drop light to go down in there, and there was a thunderstorm, and I couldn't resist. So even though I was wearing flip-flops, I went down in the hole, and I was trying to be careful, okay? Can I get points for that? I had seen somebody else walking around down there in sneakers and saw a bunch of broken glass and was attempting not to step on the broken glass, so I stepped instead into a dark spot in the left and immediately realized that I had stepped on a 3-inch nail with my foot flexed, pulled my foot up, and my flip-flop stayed on the board for a while. It bled out. No, I did not get a tetanus shot. Yes, I'm completely fine. It's just about healed and everything's back to normal, but it was an experience for sure. I couldn't walk for a few days. It's not my first nail. It is my biggest nail. It probably will not deter me from running around barefoot at all. So, but it was of note. What else? I went to Hoosier Hills and I told you about that, and you'll hear more about it next week. I was able to interview a few of my friends and people that I greatly respect, including a friend of Scott Snyder's, Peter McMaster's. So I look forward to sharing all of those wonderful people with you in one great big episode next week. What else? So much stuff has happened. So I had decided to tell you that Seuss has been weaned, and then Seuss had other ideas. Pause for a cough. Seuss ran away from home and he made it about 4 miles. I can't remember if I discussed this last week or not. It scared the tar out of me. It still scares me. Every time I drive past the road that he made it to, it's terrifying to think of all the things that could have happened to him. I mean, it's plowing season and haying season, and there are constantly tractors and large pieces of equipment going up and down the roads. There are lumber trucks. I mean, really, he had to cross train tracks in order to get where he ended up. I don't understand. I'm grateful that nothing happened to him, but it truly was a miracle. And it made me much more cautious about leaving him by himself. But unfortunately, Mommy needs to have a life too. And so that's an issue. He thinks that he's a dog. He thinks he lives in the house. And he's probably a good 30 pounds now. And I mean, he's not overdue to be weaned, but we need to start that process. So when the sheep were moved into pasture number 4 a few days ago, he ended up inside the pasture. The gate was closed, and it seemed like a good idea to just leave him out there with them, which freaked me out because it's the farthest from the house. Like, it's way back in the corner, and anything could happen. And if there's going to be predator pressure, it's going to be in that pasture. So I was terrified all night. I didn't sleep. I was scared to go look in the morning. I finally did go look in the afternoon, and he was fine. He cried most of the night. And the saddest part is he's one of 50 sheep, and not a single one of them has taken to him. Like, not a single one, not his grandmother, not his cousins, not any of the other mothers, not the rams. Nobody cares about Seuss. And which is just as well, I guess, considering he thinks he's not a sheep, but he does try. When I put him out in the pasture, he tries to play with them, and he tries to nurse, and he tries to be a companion with them, and it just doesn't happen. So Zeke and I went out to check on him, and I ascertained that he was alive and well and in one piece, and went back to the house, and he cried most of the afternoon. I should rewind a little bit. The night that I moved them into pasture number 4, 50 sheep, wide open pastures, nothing but one gate to run them through, and Zeke did marvelously well, especially considering he's never worked in the open like that, and he's never moved so many sheep at one time. He did push them through 3 pastures and into rotation number 4, and I was so proud of him. So proud. So he's been enjoying helping, working with the sheep. And when I went back to the house and looked across the pasture, Seuss was, of course, running around, realizing that his mom was missing and trying to figure out how to get out of the pasture. And I saw him go down to the pond and plunge in, and he realized that he couldn't swim, and my heart dropped. I thought, he ran away and he had this horrible experience and came home and now he's going to drown in the pond. But he managed to get back to dry land. And I thought, okay, the only way that he's going to wind up back at the house is if he swims across the whole pond. And obviously he's scared now of water and he won't do that. Well, this morning, about 8:30, I heard a noise and I thought, no way. This house has 3 front porches. There's a front stoop on the front door. There's a stoop outside, like a little sitting porch outside the what is right now the master bedroom. And then there's a front stoop on the door of the mother-in-law suite. Seuss had chosen the right door. Like, he came to my front porch of all the places around the house. And was very adamant that I let him in and give him a bottle. He does not want to be weaned. And we have compromised. I can't lie. I'm delighted to have him back. And I'm thrilled that he's fine. But he can't live in the house. He really can't. He can't even sleep in a kennel anymore. He's too large and he's too messy. And no. So the compromise is he can live in the backyard until I get the livestock guardian puppy in a couple of weeks. And then the plan is that they will bond because Seuss thinks he's a dog and the dog loves being with sheep. And then I'll put them back out in the pasture together. And that way he will have one buddy. And I figure with one buddy, maybe he can break into the flock. But I'm so proud of him. He was weaned for about a day and a half and now he's back. He only will get one bottle a day and gradually I'll taper that back as well. Other things that happened in the week, I sheared 7 more sheep with this cold, which was miserable, but it needs to be done. The weather is over 90 degrees today, and I've got 5 more I've got to catch, but I can't do it by myself, and, you know, there's a million other things to be done. This morning would have been a good time to finish them off, but unfortunately, Seuss was not the only little sheep that made his way out of the pasture. The other sheep found a big hole. Okay, what's happening is the place was previously fenced, like 1,000 years ago. And it's impossible to see what the condition of the fence is because so much brush and shrubs and things have grown up through the old fence. So as the sheep are moving into these areas and eating the brush off the fence, the old fence is revealed. And if there are gaps in there, they're definitely showing us by getting out. So we keep having breakouts. It's very frustrating. We're getting down to the end. There's only one more pasture rotation that we have to worry about. And then it will never be an issue again. But currently it's very frustrating. And, you know, the whole flock got out through this massive 10-foot gap in the fence into somebody else's property. And they are all back now and they are locked in. And I appreciate them showing me the failings in the original fence. The end. I can't really describe the frustration and the irritation, and if you've ever farmed, you know the end. And if you've ever had toddlers and turned your back when they learned how to open doors, it's kind of a similar feeling. Two other things that happened involving animals. Bullet had choke. I've seen this happen in other people's horses. It had never happened in mine. It was terrifying, but also not life-threatening. Horses can breathe when they choke. Just because their esophagus is blocked doesn't mean that they can't get air. So it's kind of weird because it's a dire situation, but they're not dying. So it happened, of course, at nightfall. I had gone out and just thought, hey, I'll give them a little bit of grain as a treat. And I poured bullets on the ground, so it's not even like he had a bucket to snarf out of. And I was feeding Penny out of the bucket. He might have only gotten 2 or 3 cups of grain. And he's a giant Percheron. He can easily eat like 8 to 10 pounds of grain in a sitting. But he wolfed it down, and I don't think he'd had a drink for a while, and the rapidity with which he consumed the grain, the dry matter, caused it to clog his throat. So he was unable to cough it out, and he panicked a little bit, and that was the scary part. And then after he stopped and kind of thought about it, we got down to brass tacks. So it was spraying out his throat with water, and, you know, just cramming the hose as far back as I could get to try and flush it out for a while. Of course, I didn't have any tubes to go through his nose. I only had enough Banamine for one sheep, not a 1,400-pound Percheron. And by morning, he hadn't been able to clear it himself. So I had called the vet before I went to bed. And the vet, who shall remain nameless, because we're not sure if they didn't get the message or what happened, they never called me back. Never once. And my former neighbors use them and have for years. And most people in my area use them and have for years and have never had any trouble. So I'm going to count it as a one-off. But, you know, it all worked out. I called some other vets and got somebody out around lunchtime. And there's no way that Bullet would have ever cleaned himself out. It took 3 of us. My neighbor around the corner, who has had horses and trained them all her life, came around. She's wonderful. And so she helped, and the vet was there, and I was helping. And, I mean, the impaction was basically from his mouth down to his stomach. So we got it cleaned out, and he is almost back to normal. He's been coughing a little bit. He's had antibiotics, a heavy dose, so he shouldn't get aspiration pneumonia. And everything should be fine. You would think it would be a lesson to him. And I did see him chewing a piece of apple more slowly, but no, it didn't put him off his feed one bit. Penny was sure happy to have him back, though. And then the other exciting thing that happened last night was the dogs got skunked. I have had dogs most of my life. I have been around skunks most of my life. And nary the twain have met until last night, when they both got sprayed straight in the face. So that was fun. In the future, for reference, in case your dog ever gets skunked or you ever have the misfortune, First of all, that just gag it out. There's, you can't stop it. The worst part was the windows on that side of the house were open, and I think the house took a direct hit. So both the dogs straight in the face, it wafted through the windows. It smelled like the bloated, rotting carcass of an electrical fire, and it was horrible. I mean, I didn't get sprayed in the eyes like Snickers did, so I feel like it wasn't so bad for me, but I still had to sniff them and clean them, so that was pretty rotten. Don't use tomato. I found online a recipe for baking soda, hydrogen peroxide, and dish detergent that worked wonderfully. I only had to lather them up twice, and everything is back to normal. And the smell was mercifully gone this morning, so all's well that ends well. Hopefully the skunk knows better than to come back. So that's all the news so far this week. Apologize again for the lateness of this posting. I plan to have it out on Thursday, but, you know, lots going on. That was choke day. So, internet update. It's going to be another week due to, I don't know, some kind of positioning or something or other. But after next week, it should be easier to post the podcast. So we can all look forward to normality, maybe. I hope. The boxes are almost unpacked. We're getting there. I'm getting there. So lastly, just another reminder about the GoFundMe. It is gofundme.com/ballyhoofarm, and I am posting regular updates. Thank you so much to those of you who have generously donated so far, and hopefully we'll get some more funds. The electric is supposed to be put in next week, and... oh, that's what the internet is waiting on, is the main breaker box thing that has to get inspected. I don't know from electricity, but whatever that thing is, that's what the holdup is. So that's going to happen, and then the plumbing, like, desperately needs to happen so people can come over. So anyway, thank you again for listening. Thanks for your support. Reminder about the giveaway, definitely do go on Instagram because you do want a set of these stitch markers. Like me, ballyhoo.fiber.emporium, like Lori at Mooflower, and tag two of your friends with the hashtag Droopy Sparkles. Congratulations to the winner of last week's giveaway, Kim. If you would like to reach out and get that Tink yarn, I would love to get that to you. Thank you so much to those of you who played. I saw there were a lot of likes, but the people didn't, use the hashtag. So you gotta follow the rules, guys. Hashtag two. That's what makes it fun. There's a hashtag every week. If you know of anybody that you think should be featured on this podcast, please do let me know. And have a wonderful week. I hope you are cold and sinus infection free, and hopefully I will also be by next week because I don't like sounding clogged like this. Anyway, have a great week. Thanks again for your support, and remember, spin everywhere.